We're on Insight. Jack Stogler here this Wednesday afternoon, dealing with the remnants of Hurricane Irma. Hello, Chuck. Mr. Neal.
Hi, Jack. Don't sit in the airport.
That's right. And we have in studio special guest and a returning guest, Mr. Steve Stone, Nature's Green.
Yep, we're here. Thanks very much for the invitation. Really appreciate it.
It is great to have you here. And I thought we'd talk about, fall lawn care, what to do with your trees and shrubs and all that stuff. But I really think probably the best thing to start with is to check on the family and see how everybody's doing. You have a daughter that's down at UK, correct?
Yeah, Corey started her sophomore year down at UK, and she is doing great. She made it through for her freshman year, and I think she finished with about a 3.9, something like that.
That ain't too shabby at all.
And yeah, she was always concerned about maintaining a 3.75, because if she maintained that, she automatically got into nursing school. So she got into nursing school, got some really cool friends down there, and she's loving it. She says y'all all the time.
Is that right?
But other than that, no, she's doing great.
Is she living on campus? Or
she lived on campus last year, and she moved into an apartment this year. So her and a real good friend of hers, Cameron, they have an apartment just off of campus. Funny story, Cameron is
I might see her sometime.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cameron is from, who'd we beat in the rain when we went to state in Lima? About football. Pouring down rain.
Logador?
No. Can't think of, I know where it is. Liberty Bend. Not Liberty Bend.
Nope. Yeah, it's up north.
Two words, I believe. West of Findlay, but I can't think
of it. We'll think of it in a minute.
Yep. Yep.
First girl she met on campus was a girl from that town.
Uh-huh.
And it's just funny. They got talking football and stuff. And first time I met her, I said, hey, are you still bitter about that football game? And she said, yeah, just a little bit. So, yeah. great girl. You know, she couldn't have landed in a better spot. She's happy as can be.
Well, good. And then I believe you've got one that's a senior in high school.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, already. Carly's a senior this year, and she is having a blast playing
Macomb.
There you go.
That's it.
Couldn't think of it.
She is playing volleyball and having a great time, and, again, just doing really well. And she's kind of struggling a little bit, figuring out where she wants to be as far as college goes. She's got a lot of interest from some smaller schools for athletics, but she just really can't decide. She's looked at Miami. We went to IU and spent a day at IU, and she's their rowing coach is interested in her at IU, which is kind of interesting, kind of neat.
Is.
So she's doing well, and she's had a fantastic game last night, just a tremendous game up in South Adams. The volleyball team's doing great this year. So,
what are they now, like 6-1?
7-1. They've only lost one game.
Yeah.
And then my son Cade is a sophomore, and he is loving football and playing a little bit of H-back and defensive end, and he likes to hit people, which, I like to see that on the football field more than at home, so that works out really good.
that's good. And then your lovely wife.
My lovely wife, Nicole, she's doing well, struggling a little bit with some hand, arm, forearm issues. She had a doctor's appointment today. They might do a little procedure on her arm to get her feeling better so she can get back to doing what she likes, which is doing her massage therapy.
Yeah. So she's damn good at it, I will tell you that. And then there's you in the business. How's business at Nature's Green?
Very good. We've had a very busy season. Just biggest problem is I've talked to so many different people through the county. You're probably struggling with it as well, as just finding people.
It's incredible.
We've got way more work than we've got guys to do it. If you want a job, come see me tomorrow morning, and you could probably start about the same time you walk in the door.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of openings and lots of work, and been very, very busy. Fortunate to be very busy, so not complaining at all. Very happy with the season so far. But again, just, struggling to find people.
Well, and I would think from a plant yard type of thing that this has been a pretty good summer for that type stuff, hadn't it?
Well, it certainly has. You know, last summer we really ran into a dry spell that was, you know, not real severe, but enough that it got really dry in the summertime, and projects that we had to do, you know, people kind of put on the back burner because they didn't want to water, and they were concerned about the heat and the temperatures, and then also the lack of rainfall. This year hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously June and July were very, very probably over the top wet, and that kept things green and growing. Now it's kind of started to dry up a little bit. We're getting some showers right now, which we certainly need, but things are getting fairly dry right now, but maybe the remnants here of the hurricane will give us an inch or so, but I'm not holding my breath, but any little bit helps.
Yeah.
But overall, the season's been, this season's certainly been busier than last, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a little break here real quick, come back, and we'll talk about what type of lawn care things we should be doing in the fall to get things ready. So take it away, Chuck.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut, grilled, or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Elizabeth from Wayne Street Market here to let you in on a little secret. The month of September, we have a special event going on. Monday the 11th through Sunday the 24th, there will be a special Wayne Street Market Fall Fest. The event will include a 12-hour meat sale, produce specials, demonstrations of some of our products, a wine and canvas night, cookout event with a meet the law enforcement night in the parking lot, and more. Look for our flyer on Facebook or in store for more details. Thanks for shopping Wayne Street Market for Recovery, Ohio.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The Fort Recovery football parents will be having their annual chili supper on September 15th before the football game with Coldwater. You can choose your own meal. They'll have chili, hot dogs, turkey sandwiches, drinks, dessert, and more to choose from. Just pick out what you want. Be sure to get to the Coldwater football game early on September 15th. Serving starts at 5 o'clock and goes up until game time. That's the football parents' annual chili supper before the Coldwater football game. They'll start serving at 5.
We're back. What's the matter? You guys stop laughing here. All right, so we're back with Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green. And, Steve, how long you been in business?
23 years.
23 years.
Doesn't seem possible.
That's incredible.
Absolutely doesn't seem possible.
Wow. And you went to Ohio State, correct?
Went to Ohio State. Can't get any of my kids to go there. But
I know. Isn't that something?
It is a great place.
I know it. And you majored in...
My major was landscape horticulture, and I had a minor in turf grass management. So, loved Ohio State. The program is great. They got a very good program in horticulture, but just overall, Ohio State, you know, Columbus in general, it couldn't have been any more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely couldn't have been any more fun.
Yeah. So, then you got out of college and you went to work for...
While I was in college, I worked for actually the university. I worked for the OSU Nursery Research Facility and obviously worked pretty well. It was a lot of fun. Last time I was up here, I don't know if I told that story or not. When I got to college, I didn't have a major, but needed a job. And so I got a job just so happened with the nursery research facility. And I was working in the greenhouse, and the professors do a lot of research on different products and materials and herbicides, you know, soils and just all kinds of really interesting stuff. So that's what my job was, and really got into it, you know, just from working with the professors. All the professors there were fun, easy to get along with. And so I was working with them, and then that's how I got to know horticulture, and then got to know all the professors, and then started taking their classes because I worked with them all the time, which was kind of interesting because you're out in the greenhouse or out on the horticulture grounds, which is out on ag campus there, and you're working with them, and it's, you know, you call them Jack or Dr. Dannenberger, which his name's Carl, and you talk to all these different guys and you're calling them Carl and Jack and Steve, and then you get into class and you're like, hey, you know, Jack, Dr. Smith, yeah. You know, and so that, you know, again, really, you know, really interesting, a lot of fun. And like I said, started taking classes, and then I think I went through maybe two semesters and then finally declared a major in horticulture, and it was a lot of fun, worked out great. When I got out of college, I worked for Wassa Nursery in Union City, which, you know, lots of, quite a number of very good people there. Had a great opportunity, learned a lot of hands-on stuff through there, and then from that experience started my own business.
Yep, very good. Now, you know, I remember from my, you know, slightly younger days that your dad and mom's house was always immaculately taken care of. So did some of that rub off on you? Because
I would think subconsciously there was things. I mean, Dad always had the perfectly manicured yard.
Oh yeah,
and he always mowed it a certain way, and not exaggerating a bit. If me and, you know, the neighbor Scott Toby and the guys had come over, Mike Miterdang, and we'd be out, you know, what we'd screwing around in the yard, playing football, baseball, just literally like riding our bikes through the yard.
Yeah.
He'd get home from work and he could see where the footprints were and the bicycle tracks were, and he would just have a fit. It's like, hey, the elementary school's a half a block away. Go down to the elementary school and track that place up. Don't go to West Elementary. So, you know, I don't know if that scarred me or if that helped. But yes, absolutely. You know, mom and dad, mom's still, you know, very into the lawn and landscape and planting flowers and stuff. So, you know, certainly that probably led me, you know, and growing up, we spent a lot of time on the weekends, which is funny. You know, we spent a lot of time on the weekends going to different greenhouses and garden centers and buying plants and stuff. So I'm sure that had something to do with it. I mean, whether, again, it was conscious or subconscious, there was something there. But getting a job, or, you know, getting lucky and getting a neat job at the university, you know, that was a lot of fun, and that's what started it all.
Yeah. So here we are, the middle of September, and you know, you can definitely feel a change in the air. So as a homeowner, what are things that you tell people to do in preparation for the winter when it comes to their yard?
Well, it's interesting. Again, you asked me to in this evening, fall, like this time of year, September, early or even all the way through the month of October, is a fantastic time to do pretty much everything as far as seeding, fertilizing, plant care, new plantings, putting in new plants, new trees, shrubs, perennials, whatever. In a lot of cases, you could get an argument that fall is actually better than spring for your planting. I always say fall's, you know, is like spring in a lot of respects. I mean, you know, planting just about anything this time of year, you're going to have good success. Dividing and separating, if you've got perennials, daylilies, hostas, sedum, salvia, whatever, dividing and separating this time, ornamental grasses especially, dividing and separating those. Again, putting in new plants. This is an absolutely ideal time of year to do that. The soil temperatures are really warm. which is great, especially for seeding. This is by far the best time to seed is September, much better than April and May, because the soil temperatures are really warm, the seed germinates very quickly, and in the springtime, again, the soil's cold, and then also the seeds that are there, mostly all the weed seeds that are there, know it's springtime, and as the soil warms, all those weed seeds germinate and grow. So you plant your new grass or do spot seeding, whatever you want to do, and you've got all this competition with all these weeds growing and competing with your new grass. If you wait till now and do it, the seed germinates. If you put seed down and water it, you should have germination this time of year probably in 5 to 7 days. And we've put lawns in that have been mowed about 5 weeks after we've planted them. And a couple of those, you know, people think, oh my goodness, you guys are awesome. And I didn't have the heart to tell them it was Mother Nature. It wasn't really us. It just, the timing was ideal, which the timing, fall, warm soil temperatures, you know, rain coming at the right time. And bluegrass is a cool season grass. And so it likes cool nights, warm days. So again, the temperatures that we've had have just been absolutely ideal. Couldn't be any better. You know, we've been a little light on the rain end of it, but, you know, again, a sprinkler goes a long way. And again, just there's nothing you can't do right now. It's just a perfect time of year, again, for landscaping. And it's funny, people get so excited, and I do too, to get outside in the spring and get all that stuff done. And by the time you get to this time of year, you know, you've got football, you've got, you know, high school athletics, you've got, or, you know, simply you've done it all summer and you're tired of it. You're ready to put the mower away. You're ready to put the bed edger away. You're ready to, you know, I don't want to worry about fertilizing, especially like your lawn. I don't want to worry about fertilizing now. You know, I'll do it in the spring.
Yeah.
That is so wrong. You want to, especially your lawn, you want to fertilize it. The best applications for your lawn would be probably like right now, September, and then do one maybe as late as, you could do one as late as Thanksgiving. And those two applications are going to do more good for you and for your turf, not for you, for your turf, than, you know, multiple spring applications. And I've said this on a lot of different occasions. Fall fertilization for your turf especially is so much better than spring. You get out there in the spring, again, you're fired up, you know, your lawn's not looking the best, and you go out and buy way too much fertilizer and you overapply it. And what that does is it just sets you up for mowing about three nights a week, because everything's growing above ground. The grass knows what time of year it is by day length. All plants know what time of year it is by day length. The turf knows that the days are getting shorter, and so it's building its root system up for a long winter. So if you fertilize now, you're strengthening and building a real heavy, dense root system that in the springtime is going to take off and give you a beautiful lawn. But when you're fertilizing now, you're promoting growth below ground. In the springtime, and you're fertilizing like crazy, you're promoting growth above ground. And so that's where, again, you just set yourself up for a lot more work than what you need to do. Fertilizing now is the best time.
So I hear a lot about this is also a good time to reseed.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the, and again, I have, you know, idea. So what's the best, I mean, can you literally just take any type of a you know, seeder and go through your existing lawn? And
well, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to do a renovation, you know, if your lawn has got a bunch of different types, and you'll notice it in the summertime. In the springtime, everything's usually happy and healthy and growing, but when you get to summer and the bluegrass stops growing, the fescue takes off, and you might see nimblewheel, and you see barnyard grass and orchard grass, and all these different grasses have different textures and colors. And you'll notice that in the summertime. You don't notice that as much in the spring. If your lawn's looking lousy, you might consider doing a complete renovation, which would be, you know, spray it with Round, which might sound a little bit like a lot of work, but you could spray the whole darn thing with Roundup, kill it, and then overseed it or reseed it, and start with, you know, a much better turf. I always tell people too, when you're buying grass seed, or, you know, grass seed is there's not a lot of difference in as far as corn and soybeans. If you have a turf that's 20, or your home or whatever is 25, 30, 40 years old, that grass seed is the same age. And there's no farmer buying seed corn that's 20-year-old seed corn because it's hybridized in the blends and the things that you know, producing that, there's better every year. It's better. It's like a new car. Your lawn might be a 1972 Pinto, and then you wonder why.
I had a 1972 Pinto.
yeah,
and a Vega.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So if you like the Pinto, I mean, there is such a thing. I mean, of course, I like classic cars, and so I like old cars, but I don't like old grass.
Yeah.
And so if you reseed, overseed, and again, that's, you know, you could talk about, I could talk about this for 2 hours. If you're putting, you know, if you're just spot seeding certain areas and you get a really good quality bluegrass blend and your lawn is a nice bluegrass, but you overseed those areas, chances are you're always going to see those spots because the new grass seed, especially the bluegrass, is darker in color, grows actually a little bit slower. So compared to what you've got there, compared to your 72 Pinto, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. So that's why, again, if you're just spot seeding, you could create kind of a spotty look to your lawn. If you've got some areas that look thin, I would suggest, and you don't want to go back to a radical, you know, reseed the whole darn yard type of a thing, you know, trim the or mow the lawn down relatively low, pick up your clippings, and then get a slice seeder or an aerator, something that kind of stirs the ground up. You don't have to till it back to bare dirt, but something that slices the ground open, and then overseed the whole yard, and then you'll get a lot more even color. And that, I guarantee you, over a couple of seasons, giving that new turf an opportunity to establish, it's going to squeeze out the old stuff, and then you can have a really nice looking lawn without, you know, going back to bare dirt. But the idea of just, you know, I see it a lot, of just getting seed and kind of dropping it in those bare areas and holding a beer in one hand and the seed in the other and dropping it, you know, that's not going to take off and grow. If you water it religiously, it probably will. If you let it up to Mother Nature, you're probably going to be disappointed with how it fills in. You got to stir the ground up. You got to till it. The thing that makes the seed germinate is seed-soil contact. The seed has to absorb water from the ground before the seed will germinate and grow. So you have to create that seed-soil contact. If you're just kind of dropping it on top of the ground, you're not working it into the ground, you're going to get lousy germination, and it's not going to fill in very good. But if you, again, a slice seeder, aerator, even a thatcher, if you take a thatcher through your yard this time of year and get all the dead dead tissue and turf out of there, and then overseed, you're going to get great germination. And again, this is the perfect time of year to do that. You're going to get fantastic germination if you do that, and then get a little bit of rainfall. You're going to be actually pretty surprised how fast it comes up.
You talked about the, you know, if you take Roundup to it, to you, part of it that you wanted. So how long after you spray Roundup
the glyphosate is the chemical name. Roundup is the patented name by Monsanto, and Roundup's off patent now, so there's lots of new products out there. I don't want to say new. The active ingredient is glyphosate, and if you look at a label, it may not say Roundup. It could be a lot less expensive than Roundup because everybody knows that name, but glyphosate is what you want to use, and it doesn't leave, it's a good product, it doesn't leave a residual in the soil. So if you treated it, you know, today, you could go out tomorrow and seed, and that product is not going to inhibit the growth of your new grass seed.
Really?
So, yeah.
I'll be damned.
Yep.
You know that, Neil?
Yes, I didn't.
Okay. So, I tell you what, we're going to take another little break here, come back and talk about plants and landscaping stuff, and we'll be back right after this.
For Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Derek there?
Well, there's no one here named Derek.
But my brother Derek's dad, you always have something for everyone.
Oh, you're talking about that, Derek. Well, he's right. We do have something for everyone with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more.
Do you have someone there that can help Derek clean up his messy room?
Well, miss, that's one thing we really can't help him with.
Thank you.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Are you looking to ease the daily grind in your livestock feeding operation? Artsway Specialized Agriculture Equipment is here to help. With either hammer mill or roller mill action, our portable grinder mixers are the feed industry's gold standard. Rugged, reliable, and easily configurable to your specific feeding needs, Artsway grinder mixers are available all the way up to 165 bushel tank size, the largest on the market. For superior ration without a lot of fuss, grind it Artsway.
Bowling season has started and Miracle Lanes is now open every day. Get your times booked for family bowling parties, engagement parties, or bachelorette parties. And it's the best place around to hold a birthday party. Call them now to get your party booked at 375-4274. And don't forget about their great food. Call ahead and just drive through and pick it up. Stop by Miracle Lanes for some bowling fun and great food.
Fort Recovery American Legion Post 345 will be collecting donations for the Poppy Flower Fund at Friday night's football game against Coldwater. The poppy is the symbol of sacrifice to all the men and women who served and died for their country. All donations are used exclusively to assist and support veterans and their families. So look for the folks from the Legion at the football game this Friday and pitch in a little to help them support our veterans and their families.
This is what matters. This is beyond X's and O's. This is the difference mutual respect makes. This is what character looks like. This is what defines us in Ohio. This is sportsmanship. School sports. It's not the outcome that matters most, but the way the games are played. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Wow. We're back. Jack Stogler, Mr. Steve Stone, Nature's Green.
I got to say thanks to Neil and you and FR Radio and all the things you guys do for the town, for the area, for our schools especially.
And we let you talk sometimes on volleyball games.
Well, I'm not. I mean, that's great. I really appreciate that. But I think it's pretty cool all the good you guys do. And we've got so much stuff coming up with the volleyball tomorrow. Is that that Bob Stogler guy and Fee, are they coming in later?
Yep, they'll be here in half an hour.
Oh, okay, great.
Great.
I was giving them a little bit of a hard time, that sports talk the other day, the last week or week before. I mean, all they talked about was Don Kemper's shorts, and I'm not sure how much. They weren't talking a lot of sports, but anyhow, they're good guys.
Yeah, so you know, now with you doing the volleyball games, you ought to sit in and join them. At least there'd be somebody that knows
a voice
about
of reason, a voice
yeah.
of reason,
yeah, without a doubt. So,
oh, no.
So you know, we were talking, and a point that I just wanted to make was that you'd said that Roundup had its patent. Had expired, which basically meant now there's generic.
Yes, absolutely, you know, generic
that have the same active ingredient.
Yep,
that,
same formulation, and
that ought to be just as good.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's,
I mean, it's like buying a generic drug to a certain extent.
Yeah, and in all the companies with all their new formulations and chemistries, you know, will have a patent on whatever material, insecticide, herbicide, for a number 17 years. I think it is, and then it goes off patent, and then yeah, you can come up with the generics, and so yeah, you know, glyphosate is readily available in a lot of different, manufactured by a lot of different suppliers, and so you can get a lot cheaper price and basically get the same product. Yes,
yep. Very good. Yep. So we pretty much covered the lawn part of it. So now we're at the stage where the bushes, shrubs, they're starting to show the wear and tear of a long summer. So, what's the best thing to do in, preparation for the
spring.
Winter?
Well, I had mentioned this before, but again, this time of year, a lot of people are I don't want to say giving up, but it's, calling it quits. But again, this is a great time of year. If you go into all your perennials and, the daylilies especially, hostas, some even your ornamental grasses, But daylilies, I've noticed, and purple salvia, coneflowers are other ones that are, you know, perennials that are, again, they've made it through the summer. They, for the most part, bloom great. We ran into kind of a dry spell here. Things are starting to look a little, you know, ratty. You can come in, especially with your daylilies and salvias, you know, pull the dead blades out, pull the dead tissue out, and then deadhead, you know, cut all the spent blooms off your daylilies for sure, your purple salvias, coneflowers, Rebecca, dianthus, there's a lot of different, Shasta daisies. Those all do extremely well by kind of doing a summer, late summer cleaning or you know, again, just deadheading, taking the spent blooms off. And we get some rain showers and the cooler temperatures. You'll see those things take off again. They'll give you tons of new flowers, more flowers.
Really? I mean, like, you know, you get this fall?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, deadheading and cleaning the perennial beds up now pays huge dividends. You get that dead tissue out of there, the spent blooms, you eliminate a lot of potential disease and insect issues because you're cleaning them up and getting that stuff out of them and away from them, so there's not diseases and insects that, you know, will always kind of attack that old foliage, and it's a great place for them to overwinter. So again, they'll reinfect the plant the next season. So if you go in and clean all that stuff up and get rid of it, you're setting yourself up again for a healthier plant, more vigorous growth, and certainly, you know, more flowers and a lot prettier, you know, through the fall season. Pruning and trimming any of your evergreens right now around your house is perfectly fine. The things you want to stay away from when you're pruning right now is you want to stay away from anything that's spring flowering. So your service berries, lilacs, forsythia, flowering crab apples, all those.
Roses?
Roses you can prune right now, especially if they've come through the season and again look a little straggly. They've got a lot of spent blooms on them. If you trim those back now, as early as it is in the fall, you'll get a lot more flowers. The spring flowering, because the roses kind of continuously bloom, the spring flowering stuff, which again would be like your forsythias and lilacs and flowering crab apples, those have already set bud for next spring. So I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and they complain, oh, my forsythia never blooms, my lilacs never blooms, my magnolias never bloom. And it's like, well, when'd you prune them last? Well, I gave them a good haircut last fall. Yeah. And it's like, well,
cut
all the blooms off for springtime because those have already, well, by now have set bloom for next season. You're not, you know, people have this misnomer that, you know, if I trim it at the wrong time of year, I trim it back too far, you know, I'm going to, I don't want to kill it. And it's like, you know, if you're dealing with, again, landscape plants like spireas and viburnums and wisteria, weigelia, you're going to really have to try hard to kill those things by pruning them. If you prune them the wrong time of year, you're not going to kill them. You're just going to delay their flowering or eliminate their flowering, but you're certainly not going to kill them by pruning at the wrong time. But, you know, boxwoods, taxus, junipers, things like that, the evergreen type plants, you can prune those right now. Great time of year to prune those. Always have a lot of questions in the springtime when, Neil had mentioned it before, when tulips and hyacinths, crocuses, daffodils, all those things are blooming. People are like, oh my gosh, those are so beautiful. I want some of those planted. Can't plant them and make them bloom in the spring if you're talking about a spring flowering bulb. So if you're out at your local garden centers, and, you know, I'm usually not a huge fan of sending people to box stores, but if you're out at the box stores and you see the tulips and daffodils and crocuses and hyacinths, you need to buy them now and plant them now, and then they'll flower for you in the spring. But you can't plant them, buy them in March and get them to flower in May, because it just simply isn't going to work. So right now is a good time to plant your spring flowering bulbs. Right now is a great time to get your fall flowering perennials in, like mums. Everybody, you see the mums out and about right now. And then the asters. There's a lot of different varieties of fall flowering asters and all kinds of beautiful purples and lavenders, whites, fuchsia colors, and those are perennials, so those should come back year after year.
I got some asters, I'm going to say 5, 6, 7 years ago, put them in. Next year they came up pretty nice. The third year they came up probably 2.5-3 feet high, hundreds of flowers. on each one of them, and they never came up again. Is that typical that they go a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, and gone?
And then conk out? No, I mean, asters, again, are usually a perennial. They should come back year after year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happened to those, but asters and then your mums are something that, and there's a lot of different varieties of mums, but most of the ones I've seen at the garden centers that we have are a perennial, so they should come back year after year. The problem that I see, or the issue that usually happens with the mums, is you buy them late or you buy them early and you set them next to your pumpkins on your patio or on your steps or somewhere around your house as decoration, and then you try to plant them before snow flies, and you're really not giving them an opportunity to get established before winter, and then they don't come back. If you plant them early enough in the fall and give them a chance to root in,
like now,
they'll be just perfectly fine getting established in this, you know, the fall, and then, you know, they'll be perfectly fine to overwinter, and then they should be a solid perennial for you. They should come back year after year.
Yeah, most of my mums came back pretty well, but the asters did 3 years and out.
Yeah,
and I had four or five of them, and they all just went away.
Hmm.
So you talked about dividing like the ornamental grasses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you cut those down first before you?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do with any of your perennials, and I would consider, you know, the ornamental grasses are the same. The first thing, certain plants are very, very, or perennials are very easy to divide and separate. Hostas, daylilies, sedum, they're a piece of cake. They don't have a really enormous root system. So if you have a sharp spade or shovel, you can divide them, pop them out of the ground, chop them into maybe quarters, and then put a start back in, put some nice loose dirt around them, and they'll take right off again. And in some cases, especially with hostas and daylilies, and you'll see it with the ornamental grasses too, over a long period of time, maybe 3 to 5 years, the plants will, what we call, they'll grow in like a donut shape. They'll have foliage and plants all the way around the outside, then the center's completely void or dead or whatever you want to say. And that's just telling you it's time to divide and separate. Inside that is so densely matted with roots and old foliage and everything that it kind of starts growing out away from that to get away from that. So you want to pop all that out, divide it, separate it, work up the ground, put them back in, and you'll be off to the races. You'll be amazed at the amount of foliage and the amount of flowers you get after you divide and separate your perennials. The ornamental grasses, especially if you're dealing with some of the bigger ones like the maiden grass and the silver feather, some of the big tall ones, those devils can be a job to get those divided and separated. They have a tremendously fibrous root system. You need a really sharp spade and a pretty strong back to get a shovel in the ground and get those popped out. Once you get them popped out, and again, you have a good sharp spade, you can divide them. You can divide them in, and again, some of those ornamental grasses, my goodness, if they've been in for 5, 6, 7 years, you could get 20 starts out of one plant.
No kidding.
They're that vigorous of growing, but it can be a task to get those out just because of their root system. Very heavy, dense, fibrous, and it's really hard to get a shovel in the ground around them. So that is definitely something that takes a little bit more effort. But a lot of your, like I said, coneflowers, salvia, sedums, you know, those are really, really easy to divide, separate, give them to your friends, neighbors. I mean, those are really easy to take care of.
Phlox, kind of the same thing.
Yeah. The phlox are really easy. The tall garden phlox or the creeping phlox, either one.
Yeah, creeping is what I have, and I separated them a couple times.
Yep.
So, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about like the biggest mistakes that people make in the fall, and you know what to avoid doing, and we'll be back right after this.
Nothing like coming in from a long day outside, plopping down in your favorite spot, sipping an ice-cold beverage, and letting the chill of the air conditioning make your summer day complete. Or you could have your legs sticking to a vinyl-covered chair placed 6 inches from a fan blowing full speed at your beet-red face as you wish you would have called Reasoner Energy for that Trane air conditioner. Summer's heat comes fast and hot. Call Reasoner Energy 419-678-4858 and don't sweat it.
Cooper Farms is a family-oriented company where you are rewarded for your hard work.
The opportunity for growth here is amazing.
Managers and heads of the company always look for your interest and for your talent, so if they see something in you, they run with it.
The company promotes from within.
So they really let you excel. They really let your mind work.
Cooper Farms is the best company I've worked for because they will do whatever it takes to help you succeed.
Apply at cooperfarms.com/join our team or stop in to see us at one of our locations. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Presale tickets for Friday's home football game against Coldwater will be sold today from 7:45 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the high school office. Tomorrow, the presale tickets will be in the middle school office from 7:45 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. and in the high school office from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Friday, tickets will be sold in the high school office from 7:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. Student presale tickets are $4, adult presale tickets are $6, and all tickets at the gate will be $7.
Are you planning a building project? Let B&D Contracting help you with your plans. Get together with Dave Kalp and discuss your plans and construction schedule. B&D Contracting also does remodeling and can build your commercial, agricultural, or steel building in addition to their custom-built homes. Call Dave today at 419-234-2976 and schedule your construction project. B&D Contracting is a proud athletic supporter.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up on Fort Recovery Radio the rest of this week. Tomorrow, New Bremen will come into the Fort Site Fieldhouse for a big volleyball match and will be simulcasting WPGW's coverage with Rob Weaver. Friday, we'll be hosting Coldwater in a big MAC football matchup. And it's the Football Parents Chili Supper starting at 5. Jeff Hobbs and Joe Bruns will bring you all the action with a pregame show starting around 7:15. Tomorrow, volleyball hosts New Bremen. Friday, football hosts Coldwater. Get to these games if you can to help cheer on our Indians, but if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Mrs. Steve Stone.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Neil?
What?
There you go.
Neil, why don't we get call-ins like sports talk? Could you put that out there we take call-in?
We do take call-ins, but Bubba usually calls somebody in the afternoon and tells them to call in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they get lots and lots of texts.
Yeah, I text feet wide open when I'm sitting at home listening to you guys.
He should be texting you now, then.
That's absolutely right.
Have you checked your texts?
I haven't checked.
He might have sent you something nasty.
No, haven't got anything yet.
Nothing yet.
Most of the time they look at their texts and giggle, and what was it? Can't tell you. Not allowed to say it on air.
So, a couple of things. One, I mentioned that we've got four or five hydrangeas, and I think each of them had at most one or two flowers on them.
Yep. This year has been a year that the hydrangeas just simply don't want to bloom or just simply haven't bloomed. I've got that question an awful lot this year as far as the amount of flowers or lack thereof. And talked to a friend of mine that actually does a lot of growing about that, and he said that he believed it was weather-related from probably a later frost we had this spring that affected their... obviously affected their blooming, because again, it's not a specific area or a specific variety of hydrangea. It's pretty much across the board. Everybody I've talked to, different varieties, the pink ones, the white ones, all the different, I mean, there's hundreds of different varieties, but in general, everybody's been, you know, fairly disappointed with the amount of blooms they've had. The plants are incredibly healthy and growing, you know, to beat the band, but they're just not getting any flowers this year. And so, sounds to me like, again, he's probably correct, a physiological issue with a later in the spring kind of a frost that kind of hindered their flowering this year.
Okay. And then, so we're at the time, okay, so I've got about three rose bushes that are about hip high, okay? And it's getting that time of year where I'm going to trim them down.
Mm-hmm.
So how low do I go?
It depends on what variety you have. If you have a knockout rose, which is the most popular, you know, right now, they're the they grow just incredibly vigorously, produce hundreds and hundreds of blooms on each plant. Those actually are very forgiving as far as pruning goes. And they also, I mean, they can have a tremendous growth rate. And we talked about how much rain we had early season. And so they, you know, they can put on 2 to 3 feet of growth in a season. And so if you want to trim them back, if they've gotten too big, in your opinion, if they've gotten too big and they're, you know, waist high or, you know, 3-4 foot, and you want to take them back by half or you want to take them back by 2/3, you're certainly not going to hurt them at all. They'll, you know, they'll thrive. They'll continue to take off and grow. And in fact, the knockouts do have a really vigorous growth rate, and I have seen them over a period of time get big and kind of laggy, and then sometimes you get some dead stems, canes, and tissue down inside, and that's a great time to come in and just, you know, give them a real good pruning, and next season they'll be right back and they'll be super full.
So in 23 years of being being in the being in the business, like, what's the most common mistakes that people make in the fall that just screws them up for the next growing season?
I don't know if there's anything. Well, I mean, if you're talking about your turf, there's a kind of a school of thought out there that you're supposed to mow really, really, really low before, yep, you know, winter sets in. That's absolutely, you know, wives' tale, false. You do not want to do that. Not necessary, and creates a lot of stress and potential, you know, die out or die back with your lawn. You absolutely don't want to do that.
What if it helps the leaves blow in the neighbor's yard, though?
That's big. Well, that's what they make leaf blowers for. That's, you go out, true, to Hall Brothers and you get yourself a leaf blower, and you can kind of help them next door. If you could maybe get them in the street and get them all the way down to your brother's house.
Hey,
if you're
there
lucky.
You go. So I'm still trying to teach him how to mow his grass yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the biggest, you talked about mistakes, one of the biggest mistakes that people make, and homeowners, if homeowners do it, you know, hey, you know, I say maybe they don't know any better, but I also see a lot of, we'll say, professional type landscapers do it too. And it's just simply not knowing what you're planting or not knowing what the potential growth habit and height and maturity level is going to be. There's so many different places, and I don't want to name the names because I don't want to irritate anybody, but there's a place in Salina that was a commercial property and it was landscaped, and I go through there through the drive-through every now and then, and there are, specifically around their sign, their menu board, there's three plants that are planted, I'd say, 3 foot apart. And I've got one in my backyard right now, and I planted it 17 years ago when I moved in. And that plant is 25 foot tall and I'd say 12 foot spread. And again, you know, great plant, wrong site. And again, if you're a homeowner and you make a mistake, okay, you didn't read or you didn't ask me or you just made a mistake. But when you're paying somebody to come in and do that type of work and they don't have a clue what they're planning, it kind of, you know, yeah, rubs me the wrong way a little bit, because there's so many plants that were in that particular landscape that in 5 to 7 years, you won't be able to see the building. You won't be able to see the signboard. You won't be able to drive your car through the drive-through. And so, you know, you're paying a lot of money, and you're going to be tearing that whole thing apart in a relatively short period of time. It'd be like Calpe, you know, building a house, and in 5 years they have to put new siding, new roof, new windows, new flooring, new everything in it. You know, it again, kind of, I'll get, yeah, off my soapbox now, but it's just, you know, reading, and every plant you buy should have a tag, and the tag's going to tell you mature height, spread, season of bloom, soil type, you know, all
sun,
those
shade.
Sun shade, all that stuff should be on there. And again,
or
if
you can find it on Google.
Or you can find, I mean, there's, yeah, in this day and age, there's no reason, shouldn't be shouldn't be a lot of reason for not knowing those details. And again, if you, you know, if you buy from, you know, somebody, a reputable business like Nature's Green, they're going to be able to answer all those questions. And if somebody came in and said, I love this plant, and I want to plant it, you know, right in front of my house, right in front of a big picture window, and I know it's going to get 30 foot tall with a 20 foot spread, I'm going to say, you know, no. Yeah. You know, this would be beautiful off your back patio. It would be beautiful in your backyard, but it's just simply not going to work in front of your house.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of mistakes made that way.
Yeah. You know, one other topic, trees. You know, so is this a so? Are we getting to the time of year where it's a good time to trim them back, or do you do anything?
Well, if you're talking about like shade trees, there's really no reason to do any kind of significant pruning to a shade tree, other than if you want to lift the canopy. If the canopy's too low and you're whacking your head on it when you're trying to mow, you can trim those bottom branches off. If you have crossing branches, broken branches, you know, those are things, structural things that you can do some pruning and trimming to. Overall, doing topping and severe, what I call severe radical type pruning to those trees is absolutely unnecessary. And you can take a tree that potentially should live 200 years and make it live 50 years by doing some really ridiculous, you know, radical type pruning and
generally
topping.
Trees will take care of themselves
for the most part, unless Irma gets a hold of them, and then yeah, that can create some issues. But great time of year to plant trees. Always, again, people are always really overly concerned about the time of year that it is. Oh, it's getting to be fall, it's too late to plant. And I can't tell you, you know, really a date where I would say it's too late to plant. Mm-hmm. If you're moving bigger trees and shrubs, evergreens, whatever, and it's October, November, even early December, if we have tree plantings to do, and we do, and they're big properties and people can't water them, if you're a couple years ago, we did a project. We planted a bunch of trees on 17 acres. Obviously, it's not feasible to water all the trees. We timed that installation that we did it between Thanksgiving and Christmas because the trees are dormant. They go in. We stake them. They're perfectly fine to overwinter, you know, and then he didn't have to water. And then the plants took off in the spring. And I think we planted 50 trees and we lost one.
Yep.
So the timing for fall is outstanding.
Very good. Well, we're going to take one more trip. We're going to take one more break and come back and wrap things up with Mr. Steve Stone, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evenings, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, complemented by a large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Main Street Market will be opening early. Did you forget that last-minute lunch carry-in or needing to stop in quick before school? Don't worry anymore. Wayne Street Market will be open at 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, starting September 5th. We will have breakfast sandwiches, wraps, and sausage gravy with biscuits. Hours will remain the same the entire year, and Saturday and Sunday will be open from 8 to 6. As always, thanks for shopping Wayne Street Market, your fast, friendly, and convenient grocery store in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Fort Recovery Cheerleading Coach, and the Fort Recovery Cheerleaders are selling yard signs this year. Our Let's Go Indian signs will be available at all home varsity football games for only $15 each. They feature the Indian Brave logo and Let's Go Indians. They're appropriate to display in your yard for any sports season. Be sure to get your Let's Go Indians yard sign from the cheerleaders at any of the varsity home football games and get them in your yard to show your Indian pride.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pool type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Are you looking for a way that you can help the people who have been affected by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma? You can drop off personal hygiene items and cleaning supplies at the trailer at the Lutheran Church or on the porch of their parsonage here in Fort Recovery between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. or at Fort Fitness any day through September 21st. Here are some of the items that have been requested by church organizations in the Houston and Florida areas. Please only donate cash or the specific items listed on the flyers in the post office and in many of the businesses around town and on the Facebook page for Wabash Valley Cooperative Ministry. These items include personal hygiene items like soap, deodorant, washcloths, toothpaste, and more. Also, cleaning supplies including buckets, brooms, mops, bleach, utility knives to cut drywall and carpeting, plus several other items. A complete list of personal and cleaning items can be found on the flyers around town, and the list is also available on the Wabash Valley Cooperative Ministry Facebook page. Or you can contact Janice Feely or Kathy Etzler for details or with donations. We can't all pack up and head south to help the people in Texas and Florida, but we can all pitch in a little and send items down to help them out. Check out the flyers around town and on the Wabash Valley Cooperative Ministry Facebook page for the specific items they need. Then just drop them off any day between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. at the trailer at the Lutheran Church on the corner across from Dr. Carr's office or at Fort Fitness by Thursday, September 21st.
Still talking. We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Mrs. Steve Stone. Nature's green. We're talking balls, okay? And how everybody ought to have at least one or two. Now, are those ornamental balls? My wife has one of these red ornamental balls.
The gazing globes, yes.
Gazing globes.
Yes.
So
those have been around for a long time.
So when, like, I go home, I'm thinking about my wife's gazing globes, okay? And
your wife has nice gazing globes.
She does, you know. And okay, so are, like, those popular, or is my wife reverting back to 1969 and, you know?
Her grandma had one,
yes.
And your grandma had one, so she has one.
They're still popular. They're still out there, you know, in the market. We'll sell some in the spring for sure. But, you know, that I can't say they're like the trendy thing.
They aren't the trendy thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So I'm assuming that every winter you get to go to Las Vegas or Orlando.
I wish.
And go to some sort of
there's lots of, yeah, for me, more, it's more like Chicago, Columbus, Indianapolis. But
wow, that ain't no fun. But yeah. So when, like, you go out there, what's the next big thing?
I want to say the trend definitely in the landscape business has been outdoor entertaining, outdoor patio space, fire rings, basically kind of taking, you know, the indoors out with, you know, pergolas, pavilions, pavers, and again, the big thing is water features and fire rings. Yep. You know, everybody wants a fire ring or a outdoor fire ring, outdoor fireplace. Could be gas, could be wood burning. We do an awful lot of patio areas where we're doing a large patio, seat walls, landscape lighting, and then, you know, from when we started, you know, in 1994 is when we incorporated, you know, it was all plants. Yep. It was all plants and all mulch. And now, you know, plants and mulch are certainly a huge part of our business, but it's not as much as it used to be because we're doing pavers and we're doing retaining walls. You know, building has changed, and so we kind of go along with that. I mean, years ago, you just put in a foundation and put your house on top of it, and now, you know, everybody's got the lower-level windows, the walk-out basements. You've got if you have a like a bedroom on a lower level, you have to have an egress window to get out of that space. And so we get into all the different types of retaining walls and window wells and egress escape type things where we're doing a lot more hardscape. So what we call hardscapes, which is natural stone, manufactured stone to do different types of walls, retaining walls. And then, you know, outdoor entertaining, fire rings, outdoor bars, kitchens. We got a project we're going to be doing that's got an outdoor refrigerator, an outdoor griddle, an outdoor green egg, and an outdoor gas grill. I mean, this is a full-on kitchen.
That's cool.
And it's outdoors with lighting and fireplace. And, you know, we're running coax and HDMI to run the TV.
So do you have all of that? I mean, so if like I'm going to do that, do you handle all of that?
We certainly will handle all of that as far as, you know, again,
running the cable. And yep.
We've got a couple projects that have sinks. So we'll just run cold water out, but have a sink outdoors so you can rinse your wine glass out or rinse and, you know, clean the dishes when you're done cooking. So that's really been a huge shift or huge change is like that outdoor entertaining stuff. Certainly, you know, there's great new ideas with plants every year. The knockout roses, I think this coming spring, there's red, pink, yellow are the most popular ones. There's supposed to be an orange one coming out for spring, which is in the knockout rose family, which everybody knows. I mean, most people are familiar with those. And then, of course, every year there's new varieties, different things coming out. All different types of hydrangeas have changed and lots of new varieties of those. Cone flowers, there's a million new varieties of cone flowers. So there's always new stuff coming as far as plants go as well.
So when you say you knock out rose, and I mean, so is that still a rose, or I mean,
yeah, it's a,
is that,
no, the knockout roses are, I guess you could say, kind of a hybrid of like a hybrid tea. The hybrid tea roses are the ones that have the great big beautiful flowers, and you think of like you can get at Tom and Tessa's, forget me not, with a big beautiful cut rose. The knockout roses are more kind of a hybrid or a cross between like a wild rose. So instead of having two or three huge flowers that are as big as a softball, you literally will have 150 blooms on one plant, and the flowers or roses are about the size of a golf ball, but they're much, you know, less maintenance. They don't need the fungicides, insecticides. You don't need pruning and trimming nearly as much. They're just easier, low maintenance.
Gotcha. Well, so let's you know, wrap things up by just kind of updating people on any specials or sales that you've got going on?
Yeah, we've got a great selection of trees right now, shade trees, flowering and ornamental trees. We'll be having a sale on those this fall, at least 25% off on anything that we've got tree-wise that's on inventory or in stock. And so we've got, you know, a great, great selection, all different types of trees.
And it's a great time to plant them.
And it's a great time to plant them, so.
Very good. Well, Steve, I tell you what, I always enjoy you meeting with you. I think we did this in May and doing it again here in September. So,
well, I appreciate the invite for sure. Yeah.
Let me ask you one quick question, Steve. Somebody said, do you have some sort of driveway patio project going on at your house? What's going on there?
Well, it's had a gravel drive there ever since Meyerings built the house, and
yeah.
I was tired of gravel. So we tore the gravel out and dug that all out, and we've got some pavers in there now, so it's just a brick paver driveway. And Eric Vine, he's actually the brains of the outfit at Nature Screen. So Eric's great guy. He's worked for me for, I don't know, 18 years maybe, 17 years. Him and I kind of came up with kind of a neat idea, and he came out on the weekends and did a lot of helped me an awful lot, and we did kind of a neat design, a neat layout with some pavers. Yeah, it turned out really cool. It's not done. It may be till Christmas until I get it done. Between the volleyball games, and then this guy asked me to do, you know, like broadcast volleyball and
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
And then I'm sure that'll probably lead into basketball games, hopefully, because I kind of enjoy that. But I don't know when I'll get it done. But, yeah, it's been an ongoing. And, yeah, I mean, on the weekends, if you guys are looking for stuff to do, you know, you can always haul paver bricks around. It's a lot of fun. I'll teach you everything you need to know.
Okay. So we'll be out.
So,
but don't wait for us.
So, Steve, I'll tell you what. Thanks for coming up. We'll do it again this spring and help everybody prepare for next spring. And
that'll be perfect.
People will be listening to you on FR volleyball games and probably FR
basketball.
Girls basketball games. So for Jack Stogler, Mr. Steve Stone, this is Insight. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.